This week's Grape Therapy is sponsored by Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It just may be the most rewarding to-do you do today. Best Fiends, engage your brain with fun puzzles, collect tons of cute characters. Trust me, with over 100 million downloads, this 5-star rated mobile puzzle game is a must play. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends. And Ritual Vitamins. Better health doesn't happen overnight. And right now, Ritual is offering my listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Fill in the gaps in your diet with Essential for Women. A small step that helps support a healthy foundation for your body.
Podcast One presents Off the Vine, Grape Therapy. Caitlin Bristow is going to answer your questions, drink to your confessions, and hear what you have to say about anything bachelor. Let's shake it up some more. Here's Caitlin.
All right. Welcome to Grape Therapy. Today we are talking about one of my favorite things in the world. You guessed it, wine. In honor of Spade and Sparrows 2.0, I wanted to get into all things wine, including tips and tricks when it comes to sounding like an expert, because no, I'm not, and how to properly taste. I definitely could not do this alone, so I brought in a master. She's a former pageant queen and former reality star who you may have caught on season 29 of Survivor, where she spent 39 days on a beach. I could never do that. I'm going to need to hear a lot more about that. After graduating from college and working in the PR and acting world, she quickly realized that that wasn't for her and decided to pursue a passion we have in common, wine. She's a graduate of the Culinary Institute of America in Napa Valley and a go-to source for everything wine, and I'm just obviously so excited to learn from her. So please welcome to the podcast, Jacqueline Misch. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for having me. It's going good.
Where are you in the world right now?
I am in Metro Detroit in Michigan.
Oh, okay. Is that where you're from?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay. And then, so you went to school in Napa?
Yes. So I moved out there, I think it was 2 years ago now. I lived out there for 10 months while I was married. I was like, hey, John, I'm going to go to Napa while you're in dental school. He was like, are you kidding me? I'm like, no, dude, like I need to go do something else with my life. And I don't see you anyways, because you're studying all the time. So yeah, I graduated last May and move back because, you know, he's here.
Well, that's great. I love that you did that. First of all, I love that you have that passion to go do something for yourself. If you know, you're like, you know, I'm just sitting here, I want to go do something. I love that you were in it. You had a job and that you're like, this isn't my passion. I'm going to chase my passion. Yeah. So good for you for doing that. I love it.
Thanks.
And also, okay, tell me about your experience on Survivor, because I've always wanted to do Big Brother because you can like cook and eat and like sleep a lot. And I'm like, I don't think I could ever make it in the world of Survivor, like ever. I always bow down to the people who go on that. So
you could totally do it. I feel like your body, you adapt so quickly. I feel like I grew up camping, so I don't know if that had something to help with it, but yeah, man, 39 days. I lost like 30 pounds. We only had maybe 2 teaspoons of rice a day, which was disgusting because it tasted like salt water and sand. So when you chewed it, your teeth would like crunch. Ugh.
That's seriously all you got to eat? Why?
Yeah, unless your tribe won the challenges, in which case you won food, but then your stomach is just like so rocked after eating real human food that you just like die in the woods, like with nothing.
Maybe an inappropriate question, but what was the bathroom?
Literally nothing. Like they called it, like you go in the woods, the cameras wouldn't follow you. You'd say that you were going to Coconut Grove. That was like the keyword. You'd say like go on Coconut Grove or like in the ocean and with a leaf or something to like help the situation. But I mean, I'll just tell you, I pooped like 4 times in 39 days.
Oh, gosh.
Because I wasn't eating. Like, my body just shut down.
That makes sense. And, like, are the camera people eating in front of you? I feel like that's a typical question people ask, but I've heard that they do. But that would be just mean.
Yeah, no, they don't. They don't. I remember there was maybe like 4 days left and one of the camera guys had on shorts with hot dogs and hamburgers all over them. And we were like, oh, he did not. So rude.
What's the craziest thing that happened on that show? That, like, what was the craziest thing?
I don't even know. Our season was actually kind of boring.
Really?
Yeah.
Behind the scenes.
Girl, I don't know. It was like 6 years ago. But the one whole episode was John and I fighting, which sucked. Really? Like, I could not watch it back. I drank so much wine watching the whole thing back, and we've never watched it again. Never watched it again. Like, I can't do it.
I can relate to watching and drinking a lot of wine during, and yeah, it can be really rough. Yeah. Especially if, so your husband was on with you.
Yeah. So we were on a blood versus water season. So there were sisters, brothers, couples, mother, daughter, that kind of thing. And we'd been dating for a year already.
Okay. I actually do remember that. That's so crazy. And as I mentioned in your intro, you were working in PR and advertising before you got into wine. Yeah. So was wine something you were always interested in? And when did you officially decide to pursue it as a career?
Oh my gosh. I feel like it's such a slow evolution. I was not into wine. We were a beer drinking family, like camping. Really? And when I met John, him and his dad would drink wine, and I would hear these words, and we'd like Google, what does this mean? These weird wine words, like, let's go buy cheese and wine and try and figure it out and be wine people. And we were like 22 at the time. And then, we moved to Vegas I moved to Vegas first, and then to watch Survivor back, he moved to Vegas as well. And he worked at a restaurant, and he was the general manager. And all the guys at the time that worked there were going and sitting for their certified sommelier exam. So I was the hostess, and I would like listen to these guys do all the wine things. And I always thought it was such a dude thing. So I never saw myself in wine until I moved home. And I was like, dude, I'm drinking wine with you. I understand all of what you're talking about. And I really love it. And then one day John was like, why don't you just start pouring wine at a restaurant and see if you like it, and then do some certifications. And then the rest was history, I guess.
Yeah, that's it. The restaurant industry got me into the wine as well. That's so cool. And so why Vegas? Just for fun?
So advertising actually took me out there. So I was a media buyer and, in Michigan for 4 years working for Michigan Department of Health. And I hated it. It was like so boring. It's not me. And so, the first job I got offered to leave Michigan was in Las Vegas, and it was for Allegiant Airline to do their media planning and buying. And everyone's like, Vegas, you can live in Vegas. And I'm like, yeah, I'm leaving. Bye. So yeah,
that's so fun. Yeah. I mean, I'm all about just getting up and going, doing whatever you know, while you're young, why not? So what was your experience in Napa like becoming a master of wine? Did you love it? What was your day-to-day? What did your day-to-day look like? This is a nice program, right?
Yeah. Freaking magical, man. Well, so when I started, it was an advanced wine and beverage certificate program. Mm-hmm. And then halfway through, they accredited it to be a master's of wine management a master's of wine management. Yeah. So all you had to do was write a thesis and add on 3 months, and I could do that from home. So it's like, yeah, that's awesome. But anyways, it's freaking magical, like tasting wine every day. But I mean, I couldn't actually drink wine every day. I would die.
Yeah. I was going to say, when I started creating this wine, it was the first time I was like, oh, I understand the pour out buckets now.
Right? Yeah. I still hate pouring it though and spitting it. I feel like so weird, but
because it feels like such a waste. But that's
so cool.
So you have to taste it every day for 9 months. Doesn't your mouth get like raw after that?
Seriously. And John is going to dental school, so he's like, we are getting your teeth cleaned and all the things. Yes, help me. They're so stained.
Oh my gosh. That's funny. I'm doing Invisalign right now, and I don't have them in because I'm going to drink wine, but that's been like the hard thing is just like red wine, coffee, all my favorite things. Now I've got these little I don't know what they're even called. They're like buttons on my teeth that
Yeah.
And I feel like those are getting stained.
Damn it.
No, it's not cute. It's really not cute. Did you do Invisalign?
I had it too. Right before Miss USA, they put it on me. They're like, all right, we gotta fix this girl's teeth.
Really? What, how long?
Maybe 6 months. But during my whole year, I had the buttons are like up on my canine teeth, so they have stuck out. So I looked ridiculous.
Oh my gosh.
You can't even see yours.
Well, yeah, they're on like my bottom teeth and in the back, so you can't really see mine, which is fine. But when did you do Miss America?
2013.
What was
that? It was
that?
The first one I ever did.
Really?
Yeah, like I wanted to wear kitten heels because I had never walked in heels my entire life. And I asked the pageant director, I was like, can I wear these? Because I'm 6 foot tall. I was such a tomboy, so it was so weird. My parents were like, we're going to watch a what? A pageant?
Really? I was going to ask you. So you would like do pageants all growing up?
No, no way. Oh. I played basketball and volleyball for 10, 12 years. Yeah, this is weird.
What made you get into the pageant world?
Honestly, this girl from my hometown was like, because Donald Trump owned it at the time.
Yeah.
And she was like, Donald Trump wants me in the pageant. And I was like, what the heck? I want to do it.
Really? That's how you got it? That's
yeah.
So crazy. And doesn't
so then I entered.
Like a special talent or skill? Like, is that, I don't really know how, obviously, clearly I don't know how pageants work, but do you have to have like a skill?
So, yeah. So that's Miss America, though. So the two sisters, like Miss America and then Miss USA. So Miss USA, you don't need a talent. But in Polish dancing, like straight up polka for 9 years.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I would have polka'd on that stage.
Oh, did you do it?
No.
Oh, but that's what you would have done. That's cool. Yeah. Did you enjoy that experience or were you like, glad I did it once, never again?
Glad I did it once, never again. Yeah.
I feel that. That's
okay. Did you know that right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your dog to make you breakfast in bed? With Belgian waffles? Maybe a fresh fruit compote? As nice as that sounds, that's probably not going to happen. But at least there's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more.
Tell me a little bit about your career in wine right now. You have a company that does wine events and education, right?
Yeah. So I started as Tasting Grapes LLC when I moved back to Metro Detroit. Mainly because I hate the snobbery and exclusiveness of wine. And so I wanted to come back home and just have fun events for anybody that wanted to come learn about wine and drink and just have a good time and take pictures and just have a good time, you know, and not have that stigma with it. I wanted like everybody to be able to come. And so it was going well until COVID hit. And
no events are happening. It's so frustrating. That's like you said earlier, like you thought it was a man's world. You thought it was just men that talked about wine. And do you think that is how it's always been? Or do you think that's changing? And why?
I think it's changing. I think social media has a lot to do with it too. I mean, I feel like girls are just, women are taking over. We're like, we know about it. We love it. We drink it more than men.
Yeah. It's crazy. Cause, there was a saying I saw and like in the wine industry, the saying, I don't know how long ago this was, but it said that the men drink wine and the women will follow or something. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly what I said. I was like, ew, that was an actual saying in the wine industry. And I was like, no, screw that. Like, and you're right. Like women are absolutely taking over. So it just seems only if that can be anything. And wine, like of course wine.
Yeah, I just think social media has such a big deal to do with it too. People in the traditional wine world are kind of like, ooh, wine bloggers, you don't know what you're talking about because you're pretty and you're taking pictures and there's no substance. But it's like, bitch, like, yes, there is substance. Like, we've done our shit. And you don't even need the certifications to drink wine and love wine. You know what I mean? Like, you have your own wine.
Yeah, I know. And I'm like, I know enough to know what I like and what I don't like. And that's also like, I'm fascinated by people who are knowledgeable in the wine world because I do want to learn more and I obviously want to grow since it is my business. So I'm like, that's why I want to have someone like you on the podcast. I want to do like a masterclass. I know all I am is like, I enjoy wine and that is enough. And that's what I want everybody, you know, to know from my wine brand is that like, just, I don't care how you hold the glass. I don't care if you don't pair it with it. I don't care if you pair it with a cheeseburger. Like, it's just like
totally
snobby. But on the other hand, I do like to learn. And I think it's fun for my listeners to learn a lot as well, just to know.
Right. Like, totally.
Even some of my own bottles, I'm like, like to me, if you see a Pinot Grigio, you're like, what's a Pinot Grigio? And you're like, well, actually it's 85% Pinot Grigio and then 15% French. I don't even know how to say the word. Colombard?
Colombard. You got it. Colombard. Yeah, yeah.
I was close.
Yeah.
It's crazy. All these like certain words that I'm like, I'm still learning as I
go. That's totally fine. Yeah. Like I'm still learning, you know, and that's what I love too about wines because you're an educator, but you're also like a student too, because you're never going to know it all, you know, for sure. There's just so much. It's the whole world, you know?
Exactly. My boyfriend had a good the other day. He said, all the greatest leaders in whatever they're doing, they're the greatest leaders for a reason, but they also have to know to be led. Like you can always learn and you're
totally
you know, you can always just grow in every way possible. So,
I totally, had,
oh yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I am relatively new to the wine industry, but like I said, I'm like, I love learning more.
And you totally will too. Yeah. You're doing it firsthand too, which is the right. best experience. Yeah.
It is the best experience. I've already learned so a short amount of time. And like we were talking about how it's maybe a male dominant world, but women are coming in. And how do you feel the latest water movement is taking shape with this industry specifically?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's incredible. There's a long overdue revolution happening. I mean, I think that one of the reasons I fell in love with wine is because just it's intrinsically diverse. It's made in 70 countries. It's such a celebration of humanity and people. And I hate that there was this glass ceiling of it's a white man's world. So I just love seeing more color and it's needed. It's so needed.
Absolutely. Yeah. I know. I love that you've been sharing some black owned wineries to support, which is absolutely incredible.
Thanks. Yeah, we have to, you know, you have to amplify the voices and also encourage people who are in the industry that want to learn with, I mean, wine is so freaking expensive too, just to learn and have resources to get the wines to taste. And so it's good though. I think that it's much needed there. Did you see there's a ton of like master sommeliers quitting?
Really?
Yeah. They're like, screw this. I do not believe in the court of master sommeliers. I'm a master sommelier and I don't agree. My moral values don't align. They won't say Black Lives Matter. I'm out. And I'm like, hell yeah.
Yeah. Bye.
Oh yeah. It's so gross. And I've known that like for so long. And I just am like, yes, I'm so glad to see these guys stepping down and saying it's just not right. You know? Yeah.
Gosh, that is crazy, actually. That is, gross is a good word to describe it. It is.
It's right.
Gross.
I know.
But I like that you use your platform to share and talk about it for it. And you use your platform in the pageant world and still use your platform now to talk about infertility, which is a topic close to your heart. Can you speak a bit on why it is important for you to talk about and share your experience?
Yeah, so I was born with MRKH syndrome. 1 in 5,000 women are born with it. And when I won Miss Michigan, I didn't talk about it. It was still a secret. And then after I won, I'm like, okay, now what? Like, what does this mean? And they were like, well, do you have any causes or philanthropies that you want to talk about? I'm like, well, I was born with this rare syndrome. I don't have a uterus, a cervix, or an upper vaginal canal. Like, I was born without half my reproductive organs. And everyone was like, what? And so that was the first time a lot of my extended family heard about it. A local ABC station did a segment on it. And then it just kind of blossomed. I was terrified. Just, you know, it's like such a vulnerable part of yourself to share with the world. But I got a lot of support and feedback from other women that have the syndrome and just the infertility community in general. It was really liberating to just not hide that anymore. Mm-hmm. So now I continue to talk about, so I talked about it on Survivor in the final tribal council with us three. I pledged to the jury I wanted to win the money because it's so freaking expensive to do IVF surrogacy, adopt. It's all like outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
And so a gay couple that we really connected with like threw me a bone and voted one for me. So I got second place.
Aww.
And so we used the money to do IVF the first time, which a saga, but I just think it's important to be transparent about it because like women, like we all have this shit go down. Like I'm not going to just not talk about it.
I know. I think it's so important. Like women have obviously different struggles than men just alone in their own bodies. And mm-hmm. I think people, women in general have just been so silenced for so long that if, like I said, this, I found out this fact that back in the day that tampons and pads used to be covered with brown paper so that people wouldn't even see it when you walked by because you're made to feel so much shame around that.
No way.
And it's crazy because now, obviously, but I've just always been like open with certain conversations, and that was always like okay to talk about, but still, that's kind of, you know, we've come a long way, but it's still such a long way to go with being open struggles, and then you realize how many other people are there, right there with you.
Totally. And that's so liberating. You know, it's 1 in 8 couples in the U.S. have infertility struggles, which is a lot, you know, like, yeah. So I keep talking about it. We started a YouTube channel so the whole quick version is we had a surrogate in Chicago. Since I don't have a uterus, can't carry, but I have ovaries, so I can have a genetic child. And surrogacy is a felony in Michigan. Like, compensated surrogacy is illegal here. So we went to Chicago. We hired an agency, matched with a surrogate and her husband. They were fantastic. We did 3 embryo transfers while I was living in Napa, and they all failed. So that was awful. Like, moving back to Michigan, I was like, parted ways with our surrogate, lost 3 of our amazing embryos. I'm changing my career. I don't know what the I'm doing with my life. So that just sucked. So it took like 6 months, and then John's like, we're starting this tasting company. I'm dragging your ass up off the floor. We're doing it. You got this. Like, so that just is amazing. That's support.
That system. Cause I was going to ask, like, I mean, so because you use your platform, you have, you know, community of people that you can talk to or meet people that have kind of gone through what you have, but it's also so important to have that support system at home in everyday life. I was going to ask how you got through that, what brought you out of that, but it sounds like he did a great job.
Yeah, just staying busy and then refocusing my energy, I think, to like career minds instead of, I need this baby to be a complete person. And I think with the MRKH syndrome, there's a lot of feelings of feeling not like a complete woman because you're 50. So I never had a period. That's how I was diagnosed. Most girls are diagnosed that way. You're 16 and you're like, I don't have a period. And then nothing's there. And they get, you know, I had a genetic test to make sure I was a female, like, because a lot of people, doctors aren't trained in MRKH because it's so rare. It's just, it's a sexual anomaly, like, development wise. So yeah, he really, every day, you know, but yeah, reshifting my focus to, you don't need a baby to be a complete woman. It's me and you are great on our own and we're killing it. But then like a baby would be the cherry on top, you know? So I think that mentality shift really helped.
Yeah. And when you were around 16, when you found out.
Yeah. Like, and so, yeah.
Done such heavy news like that.
Yeah. And there's 2 parts to it, really. Like, the biggest part is you can't have sex because your vagina, I don't know if this is too much.
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay. I feel like I've been talking about this for so long. I'm just like, oh my God, vagina.
No, this is like, that's what I want to use my podcast for, to share voices like this.
Okay.
Of course.
Cool. Okay. So one of the big things is you can't have sex. So you have to dilate your vagina, literally using a dilator to stretch it. So the skin is super stretchy. Like, we can have babies, you know? So, and then the second form is a surgery. And that is not recommended typically in the United States. In other countries it is. I dilated. At the time, I had a high school boyfriend and he was also cheating on me. So like, totally my brain. Like, he was the first guy I had sex with. Like, everything was fine. And then he was cheating on me with this girl and I was just like wrecked.
That is awful.
So I wasn't even thinking in my brain about the baby thing at that time, because I was like, I don't care. That's in like 20 years, you know? But like, having sex and being a woman, that's huge.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know if you watch Bachelor or Bachelorette, but that was a big part of my season, was that I was open about having sex. And it was like very frowned upon in that franchise because, you know, they have the fantasy suite, but we don't talk about that. And I was open to talking about my sexuality. And I feel like, from talking about it, it at first was very controversial, but now in the seasons that have passed since mine, the show kind of evolved and it started to talk about that kind of thing. And so I'm like proud in a way. So
yeah, you were one of the first to just be like, this is it. That's amazing.
Yeah. Cause it's part, I mean, to each their own. Obviously, people who are saving themselves, credit to them too. But it is part of relationships and being a woman. That's, you know, and for you to go through that at the age of 16 while you're, you know, developing and trying to feel like a woman, and then that happens, that's traumatic.
Yeah, so traumatic. but yeah, no, and I feel you. It's such a part of a I met my husband, we're a one-night stand. this just happens.
We were not.
We were. And then he married me.
Yeah. That's awesome. See, that can happen.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, and then the second part is the baby thing, which now in my early 30s, it's starting to be like, oh, okay, this sucks in a different way. So it really just robs you of every single stage of womanhood that's supposed to be a celebration. You know, it's like, oh, so resilience is a big thing, I feel like, but.
My gosh. Well, you've done so much and lived so many like beautiful moments, and you're obviously such a strong woman and chasing your passions, and you married an incredible man, and but I mean, I'm not credit. That would obviously just be so difficult, but you're a strong, resilient. Yeah.
As are you.
Let's take a break and be real. We all need a break every now and then, but why not keep your brain active while you relax? You can, I promise, it's a real thing. And if you don't already know, I'm talking about a game called Best Fiends. It's a really, really fun puzzle game that's right there on your phone, so you can take it pretty much everywhere you go. So next time you need some me time, you go download Best Fiends. It really is just such a fun escape when you need a little break from your routine. And there are thousands of fun challenges, tons of cute characters to collect along the way. I've been really into Best Fiends for a while, since I heard about them actually, and I have to say, when I started out, I was just pretty much cruising through all levels, thinking I was like the best puzzle player out there. But now that I've gotten to levels in the double and triple digits, I find myself really having to strategize, use the old noggin to get to the next level and challenge in the game. Every time I go back to the app, I feel like there's new things for me to check out, which just keeps it that much more fun. Also, the app is pretty fun to look at, to be honest. There are so many colors, characters, bugs, slugs. I can't look away. Best Fiends doesn't require internet to play, so you can play literally anywhere, no Wi-Fi necessary. So back in the old days where I used to travel by plane, I would definitely take advantage of Best Fiends, and now I just play it when I need a few minutes to take a break and turn off. Best Fiends has thousands of levels already, with new levels, events, and characters added every month. It's hours of fun right at your fingertips, and you can even play offline. With over 100 million downloads and tons of 5-star reviews, Best Fiends is a must-play. So download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends.
Did you watch my season of Survivor? Because I didn't watch your season of Bachelor.
No, I did not.
But I want to.
No, I want to too. I remember hearing about, once you said fire and water, is that what it's called?
A blood versus water.
Blood versus water. Yeah. Once you said that, I remember hearing about that, but you know what's crazy? I've only watched the first episode or the first season of Survivor.
That's how I feel about Bachelorette, kind of.
Yeah.
Like I fell off the wagon.
My mom is probably a huge fan of yours because she loves Survivor. That's like her and my stepdad's show.
I love that. Yeah. There's a cult. It's not as big as ABC's cult following with Bachelor Nation, but there's a cult. It's kind of cool.
No, absolutely there is. No, people, that's like, it was like the OG reality show, wasn't it?
I think so. Yeah, it was one of the first, for sure.
Yeah, people love that show. It's a great, great show. I just could never do it.
We'll be right back with more Off the Vine, Grape Therapy. This is Off the Vine, Grape Therapy.
Okay, so you're going to teach me, we're going to do a little wine 101. You're going to teach me a bit more about wine in general and the best way to go about tasting wine. So I have a few questions for you, and then I would love to hear some of your best tips and tricks. So what are good terms that I should use when talking to someone who knows a thing or two about wine? Like what are just a couple words I could use to sound like I can hang with the experts?
I like buzzwords, right? Like body complexity, the legs, all those things, right? Yeah.
Yes. Complete. That's I said that once and I didn't know what I was talking about, but I remember saying it was complex.
No, that's good. That means that you're picking up more than just fruit on the wine. Okay. So your Pinot Grigio.
Yeah.
Is I was getting more than just fruit. I was getting mineral and some herbal tones, like green grass and bell pepper, just slightly, but not a lot. Yeah. You know what I mean? But also, I feel like wine is so subjective. So I could smell something that you don't, or whoever doesn't. But it's cool to taste with different people because everyone brings something unique to, you know, the wine.
I love that you said you tasted bell pepper. Did you taste green pepper or did you say bell pepper?
Green pepper.
Yeah.
Like slightly.
Yeah, okay. I knew a little bit of like things like that from the restaurant industry. And that's like one that always stood out to me about, and that's, I always taste green pepper in certain wines if it's in there. Like that's one thing I'm always like, oh, I remember that from wine tasting. And I like pick up.
For sure.
Okay. And what about, somebody was telling me that you're not supposed to say it's sweet wine and that it's off dry. Is that a thing?
Like they're saying that you shouldn't say it's sweet.
Yeah.
Because it's off dry. So sometimes people confuse sweet with juicy. So like the Pinot Noir is super juicy, but some people think it's sweet. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. Okay. I like that. So it's not super sweet, but it's juicy.
Yes. So you're getting all that fruit and floral and you're misconceiving it for sweet, but it's not, you know?
Yes. Okay. That's why I think people would like this, because a lot of my followers always are asking for a sweet wine, but I'm like, I don't want a sweet. Well, maybe you do want a sweet wine, but I don't like sweet wines. I like juicy.
Yeah, for sure. Very luscious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like velvety, luscious, juicy. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. I like all of those terms. Okay.
Yeah.
I know some of these, but for my vinos who might not know, what do these terms mean? Tannins. Okay.
So tannins are from the grape skins and seeds. So tannin is in your red wines. And so that's how they get their color. And it's just that feeling in your mouth that dries your mouth out, kind of like cotton mouth. It's grippy. Yeah.
Okay. I like that. A wine blend.
Different grape varietals that are all blended together. A lot of red blends. They're delicious. Yours are blends too, yeah?
Yes, they are.
Kind of, yeah.
Fermentation.
Fermentation is the process that converts the grapes to alcohol, basically.
Okay. Sulfites.
Sulfites are found in all wine. It's a natural byproduct of fermentation. So sulfites are also in like dried apricots or dried fruit. And there's a small percentage of the population that is allergic to sulfites. So it'll give you like a runny nose, itchy eyes, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. And they put a regulation on sulfites and how much you can put in wine and food after this shit went down with salad bars in the U.S. They were spraying salad bars with sulfites to like keep it fresh. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. And they're like, dude, people are like so allergic. So yeah.
That's interesting. I feel like they do that on a lot of stuff. Like, or do they not do that anymore? Because I feel like even at grocery stores, like how they have prepackaged something, and I'm like, well, how does it stay fresh?
Yeah, I feel like that's something with genetically modified things. Like apples at Starbucks are just always not brown, and I'm like, I don't know about that.
That's what I'm just thinking. The eggs, the like protein box at Starbucks, the eggs are always like perfectly cooked, and the apples are never brown.
Totally. That's exactly what I was referring to, actually. I was like, why are these apples always perfect?
Yeah. That makes me question it, though. I'm like, what am I putting in my body? The right way to hold different types of wine glasses so that we look like we know what we're doing. Because, I mean, I'm just addicted to this wine glass right here. It's just like...
I love that.
I love it. But I, like, use it for all different wines. I know you're not supposed to. But, like, white wine... Obviously, you want to hold it at the stem, right? So it doesn't warm your glass.
Right. Totally. Yeah. So if I have a wine and so, yeah, I have the same shape. These are universal glasses. So you can put like anything in them. And if the wine is too cold and it's red, then I'll hold it like this. You're like, not supposed to. But I'm like, no, I want to warm it up. So I'm going to change the heat.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's personal preference.
Yeah. Well, what is there like, okay, what if, is there a specific way you are supposed to hold other glasses? Like, Is there any other way but holding the stem?
Literally just holding the stem. Like if you're at a fancy wine tasting, hold the stem for sure. Okay. Yeah. Or if you want to be like, oh, I really know what I'm doing, like hold the bottom. Like, whoa.
Really? Do people do that?
Yeah, I've seen people do that.
Okay. Like, whoa. And what is the actual temperatures to be drinking the different wines?
Oh, gosh. Put me on the spot. White is, I think, 44 to 55, and red is 65 or higher, like room temperature. But Pinot is between that.
Yeah, because I like my Pinots chilled.
Yeah, me too, for sure.
And what are some easy pairings for different varietals of wine with some common food? Like, I personally don't eat meat, but what would I want to look for when I'm for people who, when they're drinking and eating steak or fish, like steak versus fish, or maybe a pasta or vegetable. Oh, I say pasta because I'm Canadian. Pasta.
Pasta, I love that. I have been living on pasta during quarantine.
Oh, so good.
So typically your fattier dishes, so bolognese, steak, get a big tannic red wine, like really grippy. The tannins cut the fat in the meat. So it kind of harmonizes together. And then your whites, fish, salad. I feel like rosé goes with everything. A lot of grilled vegetables. Yeah. Typical rule for like cheese in wine is the creamier the cheese, the more acid you want in your wine. So like a white Sauvignon Blanc with really high acid, or like the Pinot Grigio that you have with a lot of acid will cut through like a brie. And so it's kind of like a contrasting situation.
Mm-hmm. I get that. It's like, I don't know why this just came to mind, but people don't know this, but when you're eating spinach, you know how you get that gritty feeling on your teeth?
Yeah, yeah.
You're supposed to eat pine nuts to cut that gritty, and it doesn't happen.
Oh, dude, that's literally like the thing. That's the same thing. Same concept. Oh my gosh. I wonder why that happens with spinach.
I don't know. There's got to be something in it. What is the actual purpose behind twirling or spinning your wine in the glass before tasting it? And do you do that with all wines or just reds?
All wines, except bubbly, because you don't want the CO2 to escape. So you want to but it exposes it to oxygen and creates more surface area around the glass. So you can kind of get more aromas out of it, as opposed to if you're just like sitting there and you're like, and then you're like, wake up. And then it's like,
yeah, yeah. I've noticed that. I mean, some of this I know, and some I'm just like, ooh, teach me.
Yeah, but
I know that everybody listening is probably getting a lot from this too. But of course, Spade and
Spade
has been released, and it's time for us to drink it. So put the wine tasting tips into action. We've got the Pinot Grigio, Rosé, and Pinot Noir. So I've got them all right here. I'm going to pour the Pinot Grigio. Obviously, okay. And it was part of the making process, because I sat down with Max, who's a winemaker, and like, it wasn't like, I mean, we did taste a lot of wines while I was there, but we also came up with the perfect like taste that I love. Like at one point I didn't like the color of the rosé, but I liked the taste, and he like helped me with changing that so that I was like very happy with the color. And I didn't know you could do that till I was there.
That's so freaking cool. I want to hear like all the things about how this all went down.
It's been a couple years, because I didn't realize, you know, at first you think I have the platform, I could, and I like wine, so I could probably have a wine. And then you realize everything that goes into it with like distribution, manufacturing, the labels, the bottling, like corks versus screw tops. Oh, I wanted to ask you about that. What do you prefer, or do you have a preference?
I think that the cork is more traditional, and I think that the public perceives a screw cap as cheapy. But like Australia and New Zealand sell more screw caps than they do corks, because they figured out a way to have the oxygen go into the bottle to make it age just like a cork.
Mm.
Which, because cork taint, you don't want any wine to be corked, so there's that whole thing. But I prefer corks for sure.
I find corks to be exactly traditional, and like, I don't know why, but I say romantic.
Yes, totally. It's a part of like the romanticism of like popping the cork and opening the bottle. And
I like to hang on to them because I'm sentimental.
Yeah, same. Or do like a craft with it after.
Yeah, for sure.
Put them in a vase.
Yeah, that's what my mom has, a whole thing, like it's spelled out wine, but it's spelled with corks. my mom's.
Oh, I love that. So many fun things.
Okay, let's take a minute to talk about some self-care. We all want to take care of ourselves, do the right thing to keep our bodies healthy in the long run. Sometimes that feels impossible to get all the essential nutrients we need on a daily basis, but that's why everybody loves Ritual. It's the obsessively researched vitamin for women. Ritual's essentials have the nutrients most of us don't get enough of from food, all in their clean, absorbable forms. So there's no shady additives or ingredients that can do more harm to your body than good. And Ritual comes in two easy-to-take capsules, provide 9 nutrients you need to support a strong foundation for your health. You guys know how much I love my Ritual vitamins. I've talked about it a lot on this podcast. And it is one thing I make sure to take every night to take care of myself. Super simple and easy. Right now, I'm laying pretty low in Nashville, but usually my schedule involves a lot of travel and commitments. So making sure I'm staying healthy is super important to me. And you know, this little thing coming up called Dancing with the Stars, I have to feel my best. We all have a million things going on, so taking a vitamin that gives you what you need daily is super beneficial. Another thing I love about Ritual is that it's traceable and transparent. So these vitamins are vegan-friendly, sugar-free, non-GMO, gluten-free, and allergen-free ingredients, and their sources are out there for the world to see. A subscription is super easy to start and easy to snooze. Only a dollar a day to have the essential nutrients your body needs delivered every month. No strings attached. Better health doesn't happen overnight. And right now, Ritual's offering my listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Fill in the gaps in your diet with Essential for Women, a small step that helps support a healthy foundation for your body. Visit ritual.com/vine to start your Ritual today.
Okay, so tell me about the Pinot Grigio when you tasted and what you like. And you can tell me like about it too if you want.
I mean, I think, okay, so a lot of Pinot Grigios, I feel like, are super one-dimensional. You can only get, like, 2 flavors out of them, and you're, like, high acid, like, porridge pounder, I could totally get down in the whole bottle. But I feel like this has a lot to offer. There was a lot that I got out of it. Like, really? I was excited about it. Like, it's citrusy, banana, mm-hmm. It's green, like I was saying. There's some white floral coming out of it. Mm-hmm. And it's round on your palate.
What does that mean?
Like the texture in your mouth.
Okay.
Feels round. So think of body in a wine, like skim milk, 2% milk, and whole milk.
Yeah.
So like what is this? I would say it's like skim milk. So it's a light bodied wine. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. I get it. No, that's it. That was a good bit. Okay.
And there's halibut in it, which is really cool. They blend that grape with a lot to kind of heighten the acidity and give it a little bit more body. So I love that that's in here because I feel like I haven't really seen that.
That's cool. That's good to know. That's cool. I have a question. What is quince?
Okay. So this is like another thing. Like if you've never tasted or smelled wine, like, I don't know, you know, I don't know what it smells like. I think it's like a lychee.
Yeah,
like a lychee fruit.
Yeah, yeah, I think so because they hints of that in there. But I remember you said that because I remember talking about the lychee fruit. But I was like, like when I sat down with all the winemakers and we made, I remember talking about, and I then when they wrote out the notes, they said quince, so that makes sense.
Yeah, it's just like training your nose to smell all of those different fruits and just like building this vocabulary in your brain, you know, it feels intimidating at first, but then you're like, wait, I'm just like memorizing fruit, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I know you overthink it.
Yeah. It's like, this is just fruit and non-fruit. You're like, oh, it smells like earth. Okay. You know, or like fresh rain. I already know what that smells like. Just kind of building the vocabulary.
I remember Ellen DeGeneres did like a whole thing tasting and she was like obviously being hilarious about it, like notes and like what she smelled, and it was a funny little skit she did.
I love that.
Okay, well let's move on to the rosé.
Okay. You said it was a little darker than you wanted?
It be darker than this, and then we made it a little bit lighter. Mm. And I think what people, and I don't know if this is a thing, but I think what people think is the darker the rosé, the sweeter it is.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
So I wanted it to be a little bit lighter, but I really taste like melons in the rosé.
Totally.
Yeah.
Like straight up watermelon, mango, yeah. strawberry. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's less gram. It's less grams per liter of residual sugar than the Pinot Grigio I saw, which is cool because you think that it's more sugar, but it's not at all.
Exactly. Yeah. And the rosé and the white are vegan wines as well.
That is so cool.
Yeah. A lot of people don't even know that wine can be vegan or not, but yeah.
Yeah. So they don't filter it through any egg whites or any of that.
Right.
Wow.
You like the rosé?
I love the rosé. Okay. Good job. Oh, this is, I think it's so cool, the blend on the rosé too.
Mm-hmm.
Syrah, Tempranillo, yeah. Barbera, Grenache, Mourvèdre. So yeah. Tempranillo and Barbera are really cool to see in a rosé too. I think that they might have given it a little bit of the darker color, but like, I think it's bomb.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, my other rosé, it was actually much darker than this one. And then I, like with rosé, obviously people want red wine to be a certain year, but if it's 2020, we should be drinking a 2019 rosé, right? Like you don't want anything earlier than that.
Yeah. You want it fresh. Yeah, for sure.
Why is that? Well, 'cause obviously that's different. Like, why is it that you want a red to be like, you know, aged or like a different year where rosé should be?
Okay. So typically in Southern France, in the Languedoc and in Provence, those regions are known as like the Wild West of France. Like you just have fun, flirty wines. You drink them all day and like, they're not serious wine. So I feel like rosé has that stigma where you like, don't age it for a long time. It's just meant to be drunk like in Saint-Tropez out on the beach, you know? And so I think also because it doesn't have the backbone to age long, just because it doesn't have the tannin too.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you want to drink a rosé. It's, you know, it's light and fresh, fruity.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with more Off the Vine, Grape Therapy.
Welcome to the Related Podcast. My name is Carly Bible.
And my name is Amanda Bible. And we are two sisters that are obsessed with inner and outer beauty and everything in between.
We hope to inspire you and bring you behind the scenes to discuss all things related to our lives. And nothing is off limits. You can download new episodes every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Podcast One.
Now back to Off the Vine, Grape Therapy.
Let's go to the Spade and Sparrows, California Pinot Noir. Pinot Noir is something that really has grown on me lately. I used to always be about a cab. I mean, I like all wine. I don't love. I was always just a cab person. And now I'm like full-blown Pinot girl.
That's amazing. Literally, that kind of shows your palate is developing. Because yeah, that is the real thing. Like I started with cabs and merlots and now I'm all about Pinot because it's light and fresh and fruity and it can show in so many different ways and it ages really well and it changes when it ages.
Yeah. Somebody said to me, oh, you have a reserved palate. And I was like, sure.
Yes. You know, that just shows that we drink a lot of wine.
I'm just a very experienced drinker.
Yeah. I mean, cheers to that.
What do you, do you see that bug just fly right into my eye?
No.
I've got a bug just flew right into the corner of my eye. Okay.
What is going to your wine?
I have a rule with myself that if a bug flies into me, drink it. I don't know why I did that.
Stop it. You drink the bug?
Yeah.
Like you could totally kick ass on Survivor.
I mean, it's usually
winning, right there.
I started drinking wine. I don't know why it was like my thing. I was like, nope, I'll still drink it if there's a bug. But I don't know about Survivor. Like the whole thing with Survivor is I could not handle the little amount of food you eat in a day. And the sleeping situations, like,
yeah, the sleeping sucks.
Yeah. And that's like, I need sleep to function. And I feel like I would have like severe, I already have anxiety. And I feel like if I don't get proper sleep, my anxiety is worse.
Yeah, same. I feel the same way. Like, really? I think anxiety stems from reality TV. I don't know. Like, I still have it.
I didn't have anxiety till after I came off TV.
Right? That shit is so real.
It is so real.
Yeah, I feel you. And yeah, you know, the sleep thing really does matter too. Like, I don't function either if I don't get a good amount of sleep. John's like, I can function on 4 hours. And I'm like, I'll die if I don't have eight.
And that is my boyfriend too. Same thing. And I'm a little nervous because I just got news that I'm going on Dancing with the Stars. And
I saw.
I'm so excited.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks. I'm just like, it's 8 to 10 hours in the studio. You're just exhausted. And then you just like.
Every day?
Yeah.
Dude, you're going to be ripped though.
I know.
And you're going to be able to eat anything. Because you need to get those carbs in.
But that's, well, even right now, like I'm working with a trainer to like build a lot of muscle.
Yeah.
Because you're eating out so much on that show and you're just burning so many calories that I don't want to just like waste away. I'm like, I want to get so strong before I go in there.
Totally. Oh my God, I'm dead. That's going to be so much. So wait, it's 8 to 10 hours every day, 5 days a week?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's breaks and certain things and press and stuff in there that you have to do, but still it's like, I just talked to my girlfriend. Well, I didn't actually talk to her yet, but we've just been texting and she just won it last season. And she said like, why you can't, like you don't get much sleep.
So I'm like, dang.
Yeah.
Okay. So another show that I need to watch. I don't even know who won last season. Okay.
She's 26 and I'm 34. And that's a big difference in like how you function with your body on rest.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm about to be 32 and I'm like, gosh, I'm like so different than I was.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like on my 35th, I put my back. I was like, oh, this is how it's going to be.
Oh, shit. I'm putting like straight up CBD on my back now because my back hurts so much. I'm like, what is going on?
That's same with me. I put CBD patch every night. Like I get Jason help me. I'm an old woman.
Same. Oh my God. You got a good man. John's like, give me the CBD stick. I'll put it on your back.
Yeah. It's funny. That's great. That's how you know you're getting old. CBD on the back.
Right? What's it going to be like when we're 60? Like, shit.
No, I don't want to know. My mom is still a firecracker and like super like with it. She's a dancer and she still like goes for it all the time. So I'm hoping, and my dad's super young like, at heart too. So I'm hoping that's genetics.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And you know, just do, you're obviously doing what you love. Like,
yes.
Laughing, wine. There's this like random culture or some place in Italy they did a study on and they're like, why are these people all living after the age of 100? It was like 80% of them all lived over 100 or something. And they did this study and they ate lard and drank wine and they laughed a lot and they had community. And that was what they chalked it up to. I'm like, hell yeah.
I love that. It's one of my favorite things to go to wineries and just like hear people that work there, it's their family winery, and talk about the stories of how they, because it's always about just like family and community and just like laughter and conversation and in the moment, like,
yeah,
I just live for it. And you can just see them light up when they talk about it. And it's one of my favorite things about going to Napa or like even Canada where I was from. There's wineries everywhere 4 hours from where I lived, and it was my favorite thing in the world.
Oh my gosh. That's, yeah, same. That's same. I love that. I love what wine brings people together and it's just all family. So I just went to Lake County in British Columbia.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
So beautiful. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It was a press trip with Wines of British Columbia and I had never been and I was so excited and it was right before COVID happened and I was like, I don't care. I'm going.
That's
so everything's fine.
You didn't have like the perfect weather, but it was still probably beautiful.
Yeah, for sure. I had like a winter vest on, but it was beautiful. Like the mountains and the lake. Oh my gosh.
Stunning. It's one of my favorite people in the world. What wineries did you go to? Do you remember?
Oh gosh. I'm going to try and find it.
Sierra Nevada?
No.
Okay.
There was like four, and there was a winemaker dinner at the end of the night. But yeah, freaking beautiful.
Yeah, it is. It's just the best. That's like, I go out there for a month in Kelowna every August of every year. I'll go for the whole month to my parents' house. And I don't think I'm going to get to go this year because of either COVID or Dancing with the Stars, but that's okay. There's always me.
Oh my God. Oh, so it was Arrowleaf and Intrigue Wines. Those were my two faves.
Okay. Yeah. I've been to the second one you said.
Arrowleaf Intrigue. Okay. Yeah. They're just so pretty. I just can't even.
Yeah, it is absolutely stunning out there. Before I let you go, I want to hear your thoughts on the Pinot.
Okay. Baking spices and vanilla. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of like kind of the holidays. And it's beautiful. It's very pretty.
It is.
Good freaking job on the Pinot.
You. Yeah, it was a tough decision to go from the Cab to the Pinot, but I know that I'm like, I love it so much and I want other people to try it because I think they're going to love it so much. And I think people get intimidated by Pinots for some reason, which is so funny.
Yeah, I feel like that has to do with Burgundy and Pinot, and Burgundy's like the fancy region and it's all Pinot, but you did such a good job on this Pinot. I think it's amazing.
Thank you. That means a lot coming
from
you. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
And I like that you called it juicy.
Yes, for sure. It's juicy with baking spices and vanilla. And it really reminds me of the holidays, but it's also very smooth, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was going for. Because I feel like my last cab, that was like the number one thing people said was it was smooth. And I'm like, okay, but I really want Pinot, so I have to make it smooth. And that's why Max was so great. He's just this wine Napa. He's incredible. And he's actually like 26 years old, and hung around him for like 2 minutes. You like, he knows his stuff. He's incredible. And you think he's way older than he is.
Oh my gosh. Really, that's amazing. He probably went to UC Davis or something for winemaking. Like, they're so smart.
Yeah, they are. He was just a ball of knowledge when it came to all the wines, and he wasn't snooty about it. Like, he was like, I don't care what you taste. Like, I don't care what, just like, what do you like? What can we put in it that you would like more? And like, it felt like we really created a wine together instead of just like tasting a bunch and being like, okay, that one. It feels like
I really love that.
Yeah, it was cool. But thank you for teaching me all this stuff today. And I feel I feel like you and I would get along just fine.
I know, right? Wine. We got the dogs. I'm here for it, girl. Oh, I'm here for your wine.
I'm going to go stalk your Instagram so I can see your dogs.
And I have one last question. Are your pajamas your like actual dogs?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. There's ramen and peanut all over my pajamas.
Will you please send me where you got those?
I actually have no idea. So today a box arrived at my door and I opened up and it was these pink silk pajamas with Pinot and Ramen's face all over them. And I was like, this is the greatest gift of all time. I will never take this off. I want to go out in them. I'm like obsessed. And there's no card and no anything. Like, I have no idea where they came from.
Wait, do you think a fan sent them to you or something? That's amazing.
Nobody has my like exact home address. So I don't know. I'm going to just put it on Instagram and be like, who sent me these? Hero, how can I like pay you for them?
Oh my God.
I want to send them as gifts to everyone I know that has dogs. So
I love that. Okay, wait, I have one more question. My big question. So I saw on your Instagram story, you were at Jason's parents and there was a Michigan State flag.
Oh, there was?
And I was like, yes, like you guys were like, I'm like such a stalker right now, but whatever. They were like in the basement and you were doing, it was when your season re-aired. And John, I was like, wait, John, because my husband played football for Michigan State.
Yeah, we just have a quick question for you while I'm on the pod. Because you saw Michigan State flag. Her name's Jacqueline. She's on my podcast right now. And she saw a Michigan State flag in your parents' house.
Yes.
Why?
So my mom really has always been a big Michigan State fan for no real reason. And so when
no
I was in college, she forced me to go to, not forced me, but she kindly asked that we go do a visit at Michigan. So I went and did an overnight there, and my mom and I toured the whole campus, and she really, really wanted me to go there. And I got accepted, I got a scholarship to go there, and I decided not to go there. She was so bummed that I decided not to go there, but she still hung on to the fact that, like, in another lifetime, she went there. So, still, like, have starting gear, and she's still a Michigan State fan for no reason.
For no reason?
In my life.
That's hilarious.
That's hilarious. Wait, what were you going to go? Because John played football there, so you could have played together. That's crazy.
Football there. Well, Jason was a soccer player.
Okay.
Where did your husband go there?
He graduated in 2010.
When did you graduate, Jason?
Same age. Yeah, that's when I graduated.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy. They won the Big Ten that year, too. You should have went.
That's crazy.
That's funny. Small world.
It was so weird because, like, I like just was watching it and I was like, wait, did like they go to Michigan State?
Yeah, I didn't even notice that question in there. That's so funny. That's that's amazing.
Well, tell your mom go green, go white.
Yeah, tell your mom. What is it? Go green, go white.
Mm-hmm.
Go green, go white. Okay. Thanks, babe.
All right.
Bye. Yeah. I'm gonna send her a text that says that. She's gonna be like, yes, that's so funny.
Oh,
I didn't
even
notice that. Oh, that's amazing.
Oh my god, I'm like such a stalker.
It's so funny because, I mean, I always just get so weirded out by how things happen and why and like how life could be different, you know. And Jason, he decided to go. He went to Geneseo, and then he somehow got on The Bachelor, and he was on a different season than mine, and like we would have never met if he said yes to going to Michigan. Like, it's just so weird how
it's insane. Like, I would have never, like, if that girl didn't post something about doing a pageant, I would have never been like, I want to do it too, you know. Yeah. And then I would have never talked about MRKH or met John, or you know, like, it's just crazy.
It is weird the way the world works. It works the way it's supposed to.
Right? And things can change so fast. Like, oh my god, your life is about to change so much again with Dancing with the Stars.
I just spoke to she's not a medium, she is a spiritual guide. And she was like, she didn't know my last name, she didn't know how to work a computer, and she literally like looked at me and she was like, you are meant to dance. And like,
what?
Yeah. And she was like, your heart is calling, your angels are telling me that you need to dance. And I was like, okay. And she pulled a dance card from her deck. Yeah.
That is a real thing. Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
It was
wild. I totally believe in that stuff. I just got white sage. I'm all pumped because we're about to start our next surrogacy embryo transfer.
Oh yes.
So I'm like, I'm saging COVID out of our house. Like, we don't have it, but like, I'm all the energy.
Save. We'll get everybody that's listening to the podcast right now to send you all of the positive energy, and I will do the same. And you're just so lovely.
You.
And I appreciate you being on the podcast. And next time we're in the same city, somehow the universe will make it happen. And
yes, for sure.
And we'll drink wine.
Yes, that would be amazing. Thank you so much. You are lovely as well. It was so nice to meet you. Your wines are bomb. I'm going to be a big, big wine guy club fan now.
Yes. Look at that. Thank you.
Cheers. 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 Cheers.
Thank you so much. And tell everybody where they can follow you.
So my Instagram is at Jacqueline Misch, JacqueLynMisch.
Okay.
And my YouTube channel too. I do wine 101s on my YouTube and wine recommendations.
It's under your name?
Yep, under my name. I'll do like 3 wines under $20 that you need to try.
Oh, amazing. Okay. Wine 101. Is that what it is? With your
Yep. Yep, yeah. It's just my name, Jacqueline Misch.
Okay, and just your name. Okay, awesome. Yeah. We will all be thinking about you, and we'll all go follow you as well.
Yay, thank you so much, Kaylin.
Okay, thank you. Have a good night.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Off the Vine, Grape Therapy.
Tune in to hear new minisodes every Thursday and check out new full-length episodes every Tuesday exclusively on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
Who's not with OTV?